The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
We welcome you back for another program, Afternoons with Mike, right here on The Shepherd. First of all, a big thank you for those that came out to see us yesterday at Driver's Mart. It was so much fun to be out there on location. Today, we go back out to our interviews from the National Religious Broadcasters, the NRB, and this first one with someone that is quite well known, especially in the Messianic Jewish community, Rabbi Kurt Schneider. It is a joy to have Rabbi Kurt Schneider with me today. I've heard about you. It is a real joy to meet you face-to-face here at the NRB.
Brother, God bless you. Thank you. As I was just sharing with you a moment ago, Mike, when I heard you guys were broadcasting into the villages in Florida, that retirement community, I wanted to do this interview with you because I have such a heart to reach the elderly population.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a God-given compassion for them. So thank you for the opportunity today.
Tell me how your walk ended up where you're doing what you're doing today as a believer in Jesus.
Yeah. So I'm born Jewish, raised Jewish, bar mitzvahed in a conservative synagogue. So I knew nothing about Jesus growing up. I mean, Jesus was as far away to me as the man on the moon. I never thought about him. I mean, to me, he was something for the Gentiles. But what happened was when I was 18 years old, I walked off the wrestling mat. I was a very, very committed athlete. And when I walked off that wrestling mat for the last time, I didn't know who I was anymore. Because for so many years, I was Kurt Schneider the wrestler. In my own mind, that's my identity. And that was my goal in life. I trained all year long.
Yeah, sure.
So even though I had a small scholarship to wrestle in college at the University of Tampa, for some reason, when I walked off the wrestling mat at 18 years old, after that last match as a senior in high school, I knew it didn't mean anything anymore. And when that happened, it was like just like that. In a split second, my world turned upside down. I went from feeling like I was in control of life and on top of the world, because I didn't think there was anybody that I couldn't beat in my weight class. So I felt totally in control there. But all of a sudden, again, when I walked off that wrestling mat, I realized the world was huge. It wasn't made up of people that wrestled my weight class. It was made up of billions of people. And I wasn't in control, and I went from feeling on top of the world to afraid.
Mm.
And I was struggling like that for 2 years, just searching for truth and for what would help me and what would make me feel better. And one night I went to sleep, summer night of 1978. Now, keep in mind, as a Jewish person, I knew nothing about Jesus. I had never read the New Testament. No one ever witnessed to me. So Jesus was not part of my universe.
Yeah,
but
right.
In 1978, I went to sleep. And I was suddenly awoken from my sleep in the middle of the night, and Jesus appeared to me in a vision. And that's how I came to faith over 40 years ago.
That's wild. Now, that is so good of God to give visions like that. We know in the Word, He says that we'll get that.
Yeah.
And although you were a younger guy at that, that's usually reserved for us older guys. But here you are. What part of the country was this?
Cleveland, Ohio at the time.
Cleveland, Ohio.
I'm in Columbus now, so I get mixed up, but I was in Cleveland at the time.
So this is such an exciting thing that something, a revelation in the middle of the night changes one's life.
Yeah.
And so that started you off on the walk. Where did this kind of real change after that one encounter?
Yeah.
What happened next?
Well, I started telling everybody about it. And someone said to me, well, you need to go get a New Testament. You know, I had a lot of friends. Even though my close friends were Jewish, I knew a lot of people. I was a pretty popular kid in high school. So eventually somebody says to me, well, you need to go get a New Testament. So I start devouring the New Testament. And, you know, I'm thrilled. I think it's the neatest thing since sliced bread. You know, John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And I'd show it to my parents. Dad, look at this. And they totally panicked. And so all of a sudden, I went into a lot of challenges with my family. Eventually, I met my wife, Cynthia, that's next to me here over 40 years ago. We got married, went off to Bible school in Georgia, where I graduated from Tocoa Falls Bible School. From there, we went to Covenant Theological Seminary for a little bit in St. Louis, Missouri, but just felt the Lord calling us to pastor, and doors opened up for me to begin to pastor. So we began pastoring, but eventually the Lord led me back into my Jewish roots. You know, this is who you are. You're a Jew.
So you spent several years pastoring, not in the same mode of ministry that you're in right now.
Very true. Yes, we did. And, you know, and actually I just turned a Messianic synagogue, a Messianic congregation, over to a young man that I discipled for 10 years. I just turned that congregation over to
him. That's awesome. This
past Saturday. But yeah, so the Lord just opened up doors supernaturally for us on television and then expanded us to radio and have had an opportunity to do a lot of unique things and travel around the world preaching the gospel.
I know you do, and I've heard your broadcast before. You come over with such a positive message. And I think for the people that are listening today who come like you from a Jewish background, they are really going through right now just the dregs of anything but a positive message right now toward the Jewish people. There's so much hatred in the world today, and you have this wonderfully bright, joyful presence about you. What message, how do you come over to these that are hurting, maybe feeling some of the anti-Semitism type of anger that's pointed toward them in this world? I mean, you're standing strong for the faith of Jesus,
right?
In this message that you're giving out. How does that happen?
Well, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Believe in God, believe also in me." So Jesus, in the midst, Yeshua, we call him in Hebrew, in the midst of all kinds of tribulation that was going on in the world, he said to his Jewish followers, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be afraid. I give you a comforter," he said, "and I give you a peace that's not of this world." So the hope that we have and the positivity that we have and the joy that we have, it's not based on the circumstances of life, which change. You know, even as we get old and age, we know that people start to experience challenges sometimes that they never experienced when they were younger. And there's all types of things that change in our circumstances, but Jesus is unchanging. So the more we can make him our source, the more we make him the one that we're looking to receive life from, the more victory and peace and joy we're going to have in this world, regardless of what happens around us.
Oh, that is beautiful. And your outreach is on radio, you mentioned, and television?
Yes.
So what avenue are you finding to be, let's say, a successful newer outreach that you've been a part of?
Well, the name of our television and our radio broadcast is called Discovering the Jewish Jesus. It's not just for Jews, it's for God's people, period, because not only do Jews need to discover Jesus, but God's people, Gentile believers, need to understand the Jewish roots of their Christian faith. So it's called Discover the Jewish Jesus, because he was a Jew. You know,
that's right,
he came as a Jew, lived as a Jew, died with the sign above his head, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, and he's coming back as the offspring of David in Revelation 22. So he's, you know, our faith is a Jewish thing. When we get to heaven, the gates of heaven will be inscribed with the 12 tribes of Israel. So I encourage people, go to our website, discoveringthejewishjesus.com, and you can find out where to watch us on television, where to listen to us on radio. We just released a new book called To Know Him by Name, Discovering the Hebrew Names and Titles of God. In other words, in the Hebrew Bible, the Lord revealed himself first as creator, and the Hebrew name in Genesis chapter 1 is Elohim. So we read the Bible, in the beginning, God created. But the actual Hebrew text says, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
So I unpack that. And then the Lord revealed his personal name to Moses. And he said to Moses, "Your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, knew me as El Shaddai," which is Hebrew for God Almighty. But then the Lord said, "But by my name," and then the Lord revealed his name, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which most Semitic scholars believe is pronounced a breathy Yahweh. It's a living person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I unpack who Yahweh is and who he wants to be to his people through the covenant that he's made. So it's a really, I think, important book for God's people.
It sounds like it. It certainly is. How do you reach out to people of the Jewish faith? You have that title, Rabbi. Mm-hmm. What kind of pushback do you get being a believer in Jesus as you are?
Well, almost complete pushback. I mean, you know, the first one through the wall always gets bloody. So, you know, you can be a Jew and not believe in anything and you're okay. You know, if you're an atheist and you're a Jew, you're fine.
Yeah.
But if you're a Jew that says you believe in Jesus, the traditional Jewish community will say you're no longer a Jew. So that's the bias within the Jewish community, and they don't even know why. It's been passed on from every generation since the Pharisees.
That's right.
You know, during Jesus said, they'll put you out of the synagogue, he said to his followers, and they'll think they're doing God a favor. So Jewish people are raised in homes that teach that Jesus isn't for Jews, and to believe in him is anathema. And so when a Jew like myself comes to faith in him, the Jewish people feel obligated to reject you. They know, it's not because they've examined the scriptures, generally speaking, and have concluded that Jesus is the Messiah, but it's by osmosis. They've just taught Jesus isn't for Jews. So it's a huge barrier that needs to be broken through. But it is going to be broken through. And, you know, Jesus, believing in Yeshua is the most, it's the purest form of spirituality and Judaism that there is, because he is the King of the Jews.
Yes, he is. What's ahead for you in 2024?
Well, you know, doing radio, we're expanding our radio coverage. And, you know, we never know what God's going to do. That's the exciting thing. We're just praying for breakthrough.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Kurt Schneider, it's been a joy to talk with you. And I wish you the best in the growing outreach that you have. And I love that, discovering the Jesus.
The
Jewish Jesus.
Yeah.
That is a beautiful thought and a wonderful thing that we, and I pray that more and more people do indeed discover him this year.
Thank you very much, my brother. And thank you for your love. I see his presence on you. So I'm glad that we could connect together as brothers and now friends.
I agree. With me for the third time on my program, but this time face-to-face, so exciting to have Patty Garibay here. Patty is raising godly girls, and it's through the amazing American Heritage Girls, and it is great to see you face-to-face.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me. It's good to see you, too.
You know, this program, and when you were with me a couple months back, we talked about your saga, the journey.
Yes.
That you found yourself on. You're like a multiple decade follower of Girl Scouts and very involved in all of that. It's not like you just set out and wanted to come up with another idea. Your hand was forced, right?
It really was. You know, I guess I could have walked away from it, or I could have ignored it, and sometimes we do that, and it's not always in the will of God, but this was in the will of God, to say yes to him and to start something new. The Girl Scouts had gone off course. They no longer were mandated an oath to God in their Girl Scout promise.
Right.
And I thought, how can you have a character development program that's not based on the solid rock of Jesus?
Yeah.
And so with that being said, I think it's important, too, that we tried to make changes in organizations like that, especially ones that have lasted that long. They wanted no part of hearing.
Yeah.
They were already on their trajectory, right? So that's when we have to step up and go do the right thing and start something new.
And that's easier said than done, right?
So true. You know, I'm so glad that I didn't know what I know now,
right?
Then, because then we would be intimidated and maybe say no. But God brings you all along the way, and he really does provide the resource if you trust him.
I think that is exactly what happened to just about every biblical leader. I mean, you take it all the way, including Moses and others. They, if they would have known when they started off what it was going to be like, they probably would have been intimidated as well and thought, I'm overwhelmed. I can't do this.
That's right. That's right.
But God just gives us what we need and says to take the next step.
That's right. He gives us manna just when we need it. And then we move forward and then he provides more. It's amazing.
Well, tell us about some of the early steps of American Heritage Girls and all of what it took and maybe even what you went through.
Right. Well, first, you know, when you're fighting a good fight, and that's what I believe we were doing, you lose a lot of friends, people that think that you're making a mountain out of a molehill. So all of my friends that were in Girl Scouts, which I, by the way, led 3 troops, and I was also a delegate, so I bled green. I was not your normal side, you know, on the side, this is what I do. This was my vocation. I really felt it. And I used it as ministry. But when the God thing came up, with the removal of God, I had to do something about it. And so I lost a lot of friends, and that's okay. My husband was there to support me, and moreover, the Lord was there to guide me. Went ahead, and each step, I went through every door. And Mike, that wasn't always easy for my husband. He didn't understand. Why would I do information sessions for 3 to 5 parents? Well, that's 3 to 5 more parents that know about the concerns we have, and we have to grow it slow. So patience is critical. I had to learn patience, and I learned that Psalm 78:6 was my mantra. Be still and know that I am God, because I couldn't do this on my own.
Wow.
And then we're like, the financial part of it. How could we ever compete with the Girl Scouts USA and the infrastructure?
Yeah, they're nationwide. They're big. They're developed.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Mature.
And they're so well resourced right now, and the resourced by foundations that do not align with the Christian faith, I might add. But I was wondering, how would that happen? You know, you start small. You just do a little at a time. And I've learned to be patient. People have often asked me, well, how, you know, what are your goals for the future? How big do you want this to be? And I said, as big as the Lord wants it to be. I just want to be in the center of His will and doing the richness of His word, His scripture, continually inculcating it into everything we do. And that if it makes a difference to just even a handful of girls, that's a handful more that weren't affecting for the ministry of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
So that's why we just go about our ways and continue. And most recently, the Lord called us into the adult parenting space, as well as the girls space, where we can help parents now with our Raising Godly Girls Minute, and now our podcast, and on our website, to help your listeners navigate some really hard things that girls are facing today.
We carry your Raising Godly Girls Minutes on the Shepherd, and they're always good. I enjoy it. And the first time I heard one of them, it was I had already interviewed you, and so it was like, ah, this is so cool. I love this feature, and it's something we run a couple of times a day.
Thank you so much. And the podcast goes deep, because listeners of that minute would say, can you tell us more?
Yeah.
And that's why we've invested into the podcast.
And speaking of the podcast, you're doing a lot of podcasts during NRB yourself.
Yes. It's been so much fun. I mean, iconic people that I've revered and looked up to, you know, heroes of the faith have been joining us. And we can't wait for the audiences to learn all about it. And that can be found on any podcast platform, by the way. It's called Raising Godly Girls, 3 times a week, 2 times Tuesday and Thursday, short format, longer format on Saturdays with
guests.
On
the weekend, yeah.
Yes.
So, okay, you've mentioned, you've teased icons. Who have you talked to?
June Hunt.
Oh, my word.
Virginia Prodan.
I ran into June last night and talked with her briefly.
She's wonderful, isn't she?
I told her, I said, you look lovely.
Oh, my
God. She looks great.
Unbelievable. And that woman's beautiful story. I can't wait, you know, for all the listeners to hear. Virginia Prodan, and you know her story in Romania, the persecution that she went through for basically representing Christians in Romania in the dangers of a Marxist communist country, and warnings that she has for us today.
Wow. And you know, that causes a shudder to think about what you just said, because we are, sadly, as America, we're not far behind that kind of a track that they were on.
Exactly right. And that is her concern. And so there was a cautionary tale. And then we've gone on and we've been able to meet with Elisa Childers, who is a wonderful younger apologist. That can really inspire girls as well as adults to look into. And she talks a lot about the and deconstructed Christianity that Elisa talks about so well, because she experienced it. She saw her own church going through this. And this is cautionary as well, that we need to be guarded to make sure that our churches are preaching from the Bible, that they have a biblical worldview, and they're not doing supermarket theology.
That is Patty Garibe from American Heritage Girls. We'll continue this on the other side of the break. This is Afternoons with Mike. You're on The Shepherd.
If you're a Christian business person and you want to meet people who want to do business with you, you need to join the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce. Why? Because the mission of the Christian Chamber is to build kingdom, business, and community. And it all starts with the Christian principle of building relationships. To learn more about the Christian Chamber and all the different ways you can get engaged with hundreds of other Central Florida Christian business people, visit cfchristianchamber.com or call 407-258-3578.
So appreciate your being with us today on Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. Let's continue our chat with Patty Garibe as she talks about how parents can help their young people when those young people, those children, are going through maybe questioning their faith, some of the difficult things that a lot of young people are going through today.
You know, she really underscores, Mike, the importance of us not freaking out when our kids are asking questions about their faith. This is how we create critical thinkers, not just yes, 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 because that faith will not last if they don't own it.
That's
and they
right.
don't understand it.
We've heard that for years, that they can't go into heaven on the shirt tails of their dad or whatever.
Exactly.
They can't. They've got to have faith on their own.
That's right. And American Heritage Girls helps with that, by the way, because of the fun activities that we do, because of the fact that they're in a group of belonging, and because they have adult mentors that are feeding into them that are aligned with your faith, you've got a lot of great space and place to talk about the relevance of the Bible, the importance of your faith, and the girls start to not only understand their identity in Christ, but who they are and whose they are and how their gifts have been woven into them mm-hmm. for their future. That's so exciting. That's exciting work for me.
It is. Well, in addition to all that you've done, podcast and all of the meetings you're having here, what are you hoping to go back home with from the NRB?
You know, I think NRB is an energizer. You know, it's a group of people that love the Lord, that care about sharing the word of God through the airwaves, whatever way that goes, radio, media, whatever. But we get re-energized because we know that we've got friends out there in the same media world that can help us when we have our hiccups and our problems. It can pray for us.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's super energizing. Of course, it also allows us to create a whole lot of content that we can push forward to help our listeners learn more about the love that Jesus has for them and how they can parent well. And that's what I love about raising godly girls.
You know, Patty, I had a conversation yesterday with someone that was talking about endurance, and he that endures to the end, the Bible says, will be saved. You have endured a lot, and you've already talked a little bit about that. When you go back to the beginnings, and you were just doing this with a couple of people, maybe like you said, talking to a couple of families at a time, what year was that, first of all, to set a baseline?
We started in 1995. The change in the Girl Scouts happened in 93, so I fought the good fight for 18 months and then started building.
All right.
Nehemiah-like, right?
And so you had a couple of people mm-hmm. in this organization in that year. Now, how many kids are involved in your program?
We have a membership of 65,000 girls.
Oh, my word.
Over the 28 years, we have over 500,000 records, meaning technology, you know, the data records of girls, and that's...
500,000.
Yes, and that's so many years we didn't even have the data, right?
Oh,
we didn't
yeah.
have the
so
tech.
There's more than that,
there's
actually.
More than that. So God has been so good. And, you know, the blessing to Mike is I don't believe we deserve to see the fruits of our labor in our lifetime, but he allows us to take peaks.
Yep.
And he has blessed me so much to see. Now, not only is my daughter a leader now in American Heritage Girls, but my granddaughter is a member. That is what God does.
That is amazing. Patty Garibay, I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed having you here. And I wish you the best. Give us the website for how people can find out about American Heritage Girls, and if it's a different site, about raising godly girls.
Absolutely. So AmericanHeritageGirls.org will help you find a troop in your area. Also, if you're interested in your church expanding ministry to girls and include Trail Life USA, the boys,
yeah.
you can have a family ministry at your church. You can visit our website there, and you can find out all the information. And then if you're interested in learning more about the podcast, of course, it's on any podcast platform, but you can see RaisingGodlyGirls.com, or you can reach it from the American Heritage Girls site as well.
Great to have you, Patty Garibay.
Thank you.
Josh Davis is with me right now. Joshua, I should say it the way it's on the book, Joshua R. Davis. He is with Southwest Radio Ministries, and we carry the program Watchman on the Wall on the Shepherd. And you guys, there's a lot of you here at this conference at the NRB.
Yeah, we've got several different branches of the ministry represented here at NRB this year, and each one of us creates content in various ways.
Yeah,
I help with the radio program some and do several segments on that and write books and articles and things for our various aspects of the ministry.
We've had the brothers Clayton and Micah Van Hus.
Yes, yes.
And so that's really great, and we appreciate the ministry that you do, and you've written a book called Rise of the One World Mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we hear this thing about globalism. We hear the whole thing about a global economy. We hear the word global attached to so many things.
Right.
And it's, to a lot of people, downright scary when they think about the changes. A lot of us old-timers that have been around a long time, this is not welcome news because we've heard about it preached for years and years and years.
Sure.
Now you're not hearing it on a Sunday night from your pastor. You're hearing it in the news.
Yes.
And it's seemingly coming around us right now.
Yes.
And then we have this rise of AI, artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
All of this points to something, and a lot of people are saying, what is it that it's pointing to? And your book is really, that's what this book is about, yeah, right?
Absolutely, it is. And you just mentioned one of the chapter titles, inadvertently, probably, Rise of Artificial Intelligence. I deal with that. Talk about the mindset that's pervading our culture today and how we're seeing not just the mindset of these things, but how certain terms, certain things are being used and manipulated to push people in a certain direction. And it's just fascinating to see. And so one of the radio segments that I often do for Watchmen on the Wall is One World Update, where I take some of these kinds of things that you're talking about that's happening, whether it be through government, through finance, through technology, and dealing with how it's propelling us towards the biblical end time scenario. And so we see that in play, and that's what the book is for. Number one, to open people's eyes, but secondly, to help people to not live in fear, to help people to know how to respond with faith instead of with fear as we're seeing these things emerge. Some people write on these kinds of topics, globalism, and with a mindset of doomsday and getting prepared for doomsday preppers kinds of things.
Yeah, right.
And I've got nothing against being prepared and having your house in order and doing some common sense kinds of things. But if that's the only place that you go, and if that's the only place where you lead people, then they're still going to be filled with fear, anxiety, and they're still going to not be ready for the most important thing, which is eternity. We could survive a zombie apocalypse if we want to, but if we're not ready for eternity, then we've really missed it all.
I think one of the things that all of us, me included, that I need to always remind myself is that God is in control.
Absolutely.
And I think it's easy, and I think a lot of believers have kind of gone into that maybe a mindset of comfortability where they hear the news and they like what they've heard. So it brings peace to their mind.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the news is in the opposite direction, it is so easy to forget those promises from the Word of God.
Yes.
That says He is eternally in control of what's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we can then, if we take our eyes off of that, it's no different, isn't it, than Peter, who was walking on the water until he stopped looking at the Lord and started looking at the waves.
Yes.
And then he starts to sink. And I think that happens to us, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. And SWRC's banner for, well, since 1933 when the ministry began, is God is on the throne and prayer changes things. And we proclaim that message every single day.
Both of those are true.
Yes, absolutely. And so I've got a section in there called Fear Not, where I just walk through several different scriptures. One of my favorites is Psalm 56, verse 3. I had a Sunday school teacher back when I was probably six, seven years old. And she gave us a sort of sing-song approach to it. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56, verse 3. And we just repeated that every Sunday in Sunday school. And she told us to pray that prayer when you're in your bed at night and you're afraid of the boogie monster, whatever, little 6 or 7 year old kid. So that would come back to my mind. But even as I look at these worldwide events that would bring in fear and panic to our hearts, that verse comes back to my mind. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And over and over and over again, the Bible tells us, fear not, fear not, fear not, because I am with you. Isaiah 41 verse 10 tells us.
Well, it's certainly important that we have the well-rounded understanding of the Word and not just something from a promise book. And
right.
I think a lot of our lives with a lot of people, it's been built upon a doctrine of understanding God in that kind of term, where it's all positive, it's all promises, and they haven't read the verses about suffering, about going through trials, but all of that was right there as well. It was promised to us.
Absolutely. And Jesus said that, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. And that's the driving force of this book, to reveal some of the things that we're seeing happen, but also to point people to Jesus Christ. And that's my goal in all of this, is to cause people to fix their eyes firmly upon Jesus, no matter what we go through. I often go to Mark chapter number 4, where the disciples are in the boat, they're scared to death, they're panicking over the storm that's brewing all around them. And Jesus is asleep on a pillow, the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And I think that Jesus is giving us a pattern right there in that verse, how to rest in the Father, even in the midst of the chaos, even in the midst of the storm that you're going through. And he is resting, knowing that God is in control. He's got this. It's in his hands. He's shepherding us through this.
That's beautiful.
And then we see the disciples panicking, and Jesus speaks to the storm in Mark chapter number 4 and says, "Peace, be still." Then he speaks to the disciples and calls out their lack of faith. Mm-hmm. And that's always surprised me at first, but then I realized Jesus is giving them a pattern. He's showing them you can rest. And then you turn over a couple more chapters. Jesus is not in the boat. He's on the shore watching them. The disciples are back on the Sea of Galilee. It's another dark, stormy night. They're out there alone. They think they're alone. Jesus is not with them. Another storm comes up, and how do they respond? Jesus comes walking to them on the water. And so Jesus is teaching them and training them to respond with faith, even when he is not right there physically present with them in the boat, and he is shepherding them on that journey. And like Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. And yes, so he is guiding and directing us every step of this journey.
I'm going to have you call back in sometime, my friend. This is all great. And we all need to know. We all need to be prepared for this thing of globalism. And, you know, one thing that I think is really critical that we all need to do, you said earlier about those two things. God is in control. He's on the throne.
Yes.
And prayer changes things.
Yes.
We cannot become fatalists in this thing. And I love that. I think that's a well-rounded approach that you're taking in those two points. We can't say, well, it's happening and the Lord's going to come back, so I'm not going to fight against anything. We can't become fatalists.
No,
right?
Absolutely not. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is a key passage in Scripture, and I have a whole chapter where I just walk through that important chapter, because it begins with, in the last days perilous times will come because men will be lovers of their own selves, and I explain all of that in the book. But right in the middle of that important chapter is a verse that talks about how that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so talking about these false teachers that will come in and deceive people. And a lot of Christians have that mindset of fatalism. Well, what are you going to do? The Bible tells us evil men and seducers are just going to grow worse and worse and worse. It's just going to keep getting worse. What are we going to do about it? The very next verse, Paul flips it on its head and says, but continue. And he charges Timothy, don't give up.
I love that.
Continue. Right. Yeah, continue in the things that you know and you have heard and have learned from me. And then he gives the admonition at the end of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God. A lot of times we divorce that verse from its context of this chapter, and we extrapolate it to just be a standalone statement on the inspiration of Scripture, which it is. And mm-hmm. I do firmly believe in the inspiration of Scripture. But it's so much more than that, I believe. If you take it in its whole context, it's helping us to navigate these perilous times, because it explains why God inspired Scripture. Why did God give us Scripture? And it tells us for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for yes, instruction in righteousness, and so that we can wow, be well equipped unto all good works. And so
this is good stuff, man.
Yeah, Scripture is our roadmap. God's given it to us to show us the direction that we can go, and how that we can navigate these waters that we're walking through.
And waters are deep out there, friends.
Absolutely.
We all know that. He covers things like this. Understand how the one world mindset is rising. We all see that. And God's blueprint for conquering this mindset in our personal lives. And that's a good 1-2 punch, just for starters, from this book. Available on Amazon, I'm sure?
Well, the best place to go is riseoftheoneworldmind.com.
Oh, there
and
you go.
People can order right there on the landing page. We've got a lot of information about the book there, and so much more. So that's a great place for everyone to go, riseoftheoneworldmind.com.
And the author is Joshua R. Davis. Josh, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you, Mike. I've enjoyed sitting down with you.
We'll have more from the NRB coming up after the break. We've got just enough time, though, to bring you Reverend Al Mohler discussing from the briefing today what's gone on in France.
Well, France has done it. The French Parliament, and with the cooperation of the President of France, Emmanuel Macron, and the nation's Prime Minister, they have all worked together so that a woman's right to an abortion is now enshrined in the French Constitution. France thus becomes the first nation on earth to explicitly include abortion rights in the nation's constitution. Now, that's a dark story, but it's also a huge development. It's big news, of course, because we are talking about amending the French Constitution. As I discussed previously on the briefing, putting this in a nation's constitution is a concrete way of saying this particular claim constitutes the nation. So France is saying that abortion rights now constitute the nation. France is now indivisible from abortion rights. The French Constitution is inadequate, inoperable without abortion rights. Now, as we saw, Emmanuel Macron, the French president, actually referred to the Dobbs decision handed down by the U.S. Supreme Court in the year 2022, reversing Roe v. Wade, as the impetus behind why France needed to explicitly affirm and include abortion rights in the nation's constitution. Now, remember, nothing happened in France to bring this about. Instead, it was a reference back to the Dobbs decision by the United States Supreme Court. That became the opportunity for political, well, opportunism on the part of the French president and, in complicity, the entirety of the French government. The French prime minister joined in the same thing, and an overwhelming supermajority in both of the chambers of the French parliament acted in such a way that it is now a part of the French constitution. And again, just fundamentally, that's just such a shocking thing, because you put in your constitution what constitutes the nation. And I think it's almost impossible to exaggerate the impact of a nation putting abortion rights explicitly in the Constitution. In other words, abortion is the nation is abortion. But there's more to it than that, as you might expect. First of all, even as this happened on Monday at Versailles, think of the symbolism of that. This was Versailles, the palace of the French royalty. It is the seat of political authority. It is the grandeur, as France often refers to itself, the grandeur of France. All of that invoked in this constitutional action.
So thankful for Al Mohler. You can always listen to more on the briefing at albertmohler.com. We'll be back in a moment with more from the NRB. This is Afternoons with Mike.
Join host Mike Gilland for The Shepherd at Work every Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m. You will be introduced to a marketplace leader that will help you learn to walk out your faith wherever you live and work. The Shepherd at Work is sponsored by the Central Florida Christian Chamber, building kingdom, business, and community throughout our area. That's The Shepherd at Work, this Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m.
I know I've said it before, but the NRB is such a fun thing for me to do. So many people in one place, and I get to talk to so many of them and bring them to you. So many interesting people like this one. Has to be one of the greatest domains that I've ever seen, pray.com. Now, friends, that is simple and effective. Pray.com is an organization, a social impact company, who has a mission to grow faith and cultivate community. Pray.com works with the power of prayer in this digital world, trying to bring faith out there in the world. And I've got with me today Greg Wilhelm, and it is so good to have you here with Pray.com. I understand you guys have entered into the world of NASCAR.
Well, not NASCAR, but first of all, blessed and honored to be here.
And I understand that they have entered the world of, look for it again. I understand that you've entered the world of IndyCar with Stingray Rob, and I've had him on my program before.
Yes, we are so excited to be partnering with him this year. Such a believer and a believer in prayer, and we're so thrilled to have him joining with us.
So tell me how you got into all this, Greg. How did you find your way into Pray.com?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike. I'm relatively new to the company. The company's been around since 2017. I've been around since 2023, so I haven't even hit a one-year mark yet. I have long served in the church. My wife and I married in May of 2000. The very next weekend, we were installed as youth pastors, and our entire life has been in ministry. About 8 years ago, 9 years ago, found myself working in the faith vertical on the church management system side and spent 8 years there. Pray reached out to me. I had had a history of scaling companies. When I came in on the church management side, I was the fourth employee hired of that company and was able to see it scale from just a couple hundred clients to over 10,000 clients. Ultimately acquired by a larger company where we're serving about 35,000 churches.
Wow.
So to see the growth of a company, development of teams, structure, process, systems, made me a good fit for where Pray is as the company is growing. There's been a couple pivots in the company throughout the last 7 years, but have really hit a really great stride. The Lord's been really good to us, and we're just in a really great season of growth. And they needed someone to come in and help continue to build and grow that team. So that's how I got here.
So you're a ministry guy that has now you have different pulpit than what you used to have.
Yeah, and I'm actually still bivocational. I'm still an executive pastor by evening and weekend.
All right, here we go.
Which is so much fun. But yeah, it's so great to get up every morning. I'm thrilled about what I get to do. The leaders, the pastors that I get to literally rub shoulders with all the time, but then even serve in the evenings and weekends on the local level to the local church. It's the best of both worlds. I'm a blessed man.
Now, the whole thing about being a faith-based media company,
mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people would say, what do they do? How do they bring faith into the marketplace? What would you answer that?
Yeah, I think it's probably important that I share a brief history of how even Pray.com came to be. We've got four founders. The CEO, Steve Gattina, started the company, again, back in 2017. Steve was a collegiate football player at USC,
won
a Rose Bowl under Pete Carroll, and just a fantastic athlete. He served in the military before that. Came out and was involved in a company that actually had patented the gimbal system for helicopters and would take aerial footage. And they would do that for this company and that. Next thing you know, because they have this great fleet of helicopters, they wanted to put them to good use. So they're picking up children and delivering them to hospitals for surgeries and emergencies. They're political figures, religious figures. They're just beginning to transport them. Out of all this, Hollywood learns about the company. They're like, we could use what you have. So Steve's company began to film all kinds of aerial footage for any of the Jurassic Parks or Transformers. Any aerial footage comes from that company. So the company is down in South America doing a film with Tom Cruise. Long day of shooting and video. They're on their way back to the hangar, and there is an accident, and one of the helicopters crashed. And Steve's business partner, the other co-owner and founder of the company, perished in that accident. And Steve here is now the one guy trying to bring the company together. He's grieving on the inside, losing a friend and a business partner, and didn't have a place to go, had no religious background. And just dealing with all of that, he runs into a former Navy SEAL. And the Navy SEAL said, I know you're helping everybody else in the company, but Steve, how are you helping yourself? And he didn't have an answer.
Mm.
There was nowhere to go. And his friend, that Navy SEAL, sent him a clip of a pastor in Texas. And that message changed Steve's life. And he began to think, if I need a sports score, I can go to ESPN. If I want to listen to music, I can go to Spotify or iTunes. Where do I go to find faith-based, Bible-based content? And there wasn't a platform. And that's where Pray.com was born out of.
That is a great story.
It's amazing. It is amazing. We love telling that story, and everything we do really ties back to that core purpose. We want to leave a legacy of helping people. We want to cultivate community, cultivate faith, help people have a prayer life, and get into the Word of God. And that's what we do every day.
Now, you're in place. You've been doing this now for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a year, as we all are, where faith is going to play, I think, in all of our hearts and lives, a major role.
Yeah.
If our country's going to be strong, and we've got a lot of people saying that America is already in big, big trouble, and the only help is going to be from God. And I don't think that's altogether far from the truth on that. I think we need prayer right now more than any any way, any time in our lifetime.
Absolutely. We are in a mental health crisis. The numbers say that one out of every five people in the United States deals with a mental health issue in their life. And out of those people, less than half of them are getting help for it. And the other piece of it, there's only one mental health provider for every 330 people who need mental health help.
Wow.
So we have seen, and we've got the science, and we're proving this right now, that our app with daily prayer, daily Bible reading, the help that is bringing to lower anxiety, lower stress. One of the biggest thing, I believe the number is 94% of the people who continually use our app indicate they have better sleep patterns. We have meditative prayers at night. We've got bedtime stories that just help people get sleep and get rest. And that, of course, is trying to help as much as we can the mental health crisis that's going on right now in our country.
You know, I think that is exactly right. And a lot of one of the aspects of that mental health is this anxiety that a lot of young mm-hmm. people are going through. I know that prayer, if they could get a hold of that
yeah.
in their life and the benefit, that just a simple time with God, those that are believers. And sadly, that's the other thing. These statistics about mental health issues, depression,
yeah.
anxiety, they're just as constant in the church
you better believe
as
it.
They are in the secular world.
I had a conversation with a pastor just the other day, a seminary graduate, pastor for over 30 years, and in a moment of transparency, and he was just sharing his testimony. He said, when I was in seminary, he said, I literally wanted to take my life. He said, I was learning about the joy of the Lord. I was learning about the love of the Lord. I was studying all these things. And he said, I couldn't grasp it because I didn't feel that joy and love.
Yeah.
And I had nowhere to turn to. And this is a seminary graduate, pastor of 30 years, sharing this. And if someone like that, who many just hold in high regard, if someone like that's going through mental health issues, that lets us know no one is above mental health crisis in their own life.
Hmm. Of all the resources that you have on your site, what excites you the most?
Oh, yeah. Well, pray.com is a platform, so you can get on there and listen to audio content. And this is some of the greatest leaders and biblical voices around. So we've got audio content for those who want to just listen to that podcast-esque type of content. We've got video content. You can watch a service or whatever video content. We've got a lot of different pieces there. And we love that. We love leaders coming on and sharing that content. But we don't just base our platform on other people, and we love that. But Pray has also produced our own content. And we have over 100 Hollywood voice actors that we bring in. And we have a 60-piece orchestra that we have access to that does music just for us. And we will take Bible stories or Bible characters, and we will make that literally come to life.
Wow.
So Bible in a Year, Pastor Jack Graham is the face of that program.
Love him.
But oh, yeah. He's tremendous. That is something that we've created. So you go on, and it's like 250, 260 episodes. So someone who maybe looks at a Bible and looks at that KJV version and doesn't understand it all, this literally takes that and it makes it come to life. So you hear, we've selected voice actors to be the voice of Moses and Joseph and Esau and Jacob. And with the music and the theatrics, it just makes it come, it makes it real for so many people. And we see this from the very young ages all the way up. So I love those pieces. But let me tell you something that's brand new. We are able to take content, and with the use of AI and some of the tools we've built on top of AI, we are translating content just in a snap. And we've got some Pastor Jack Graham that we can take his content, and we're translating into about 10 different languages right now. And when I say we're translating, it's not translating. We're actually taking the voice of that leader, and we're matching the tone and the inflection and everything. And you can't tell.
Oh my goodness.
It is incredible. We actually had a linguistics professor from Notre Dame listen to it. They were floored.
Oh my
with
word.
The accuracy. We have about a 96% accuracy. Human translation is about 89 to 90% accuracy. So we're at 96. But to hear it in Jack Graham's voice go from English to Spanish to Swahili to French to Chinese, it is incredible. And it's allowing us to, again, be that digital destination for faith where people can take their content, and it's not narrowed to just the English listening audience, but we've literally blown the spectrum right open that we can get into any language that
wow.
we want to.
Yeah, I need to do AI for my voice in English. How about that? That's what I need to do. Greg Wilhelm from Pray.com, thank you for being here, and we have to check this site out, pray.com. That's all people need to know.
Yeah.
One of the greatest domains out there, my friend.
Thank you, Mike. Honored and blessed to be here today. Thank you so much.
It's great to have you. I've got one more interview that will be coming up here on my program that was recorded at the NRB. It's with David Fisher. He is the producer of an amazing film that's coming out. It's called Sight. And you don't want to miss it. And that is all my time for today. I'll see you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.